Hey guys, so this is not my episode, but I do get to start it off a little bit, and just wanted to reveal what the stories were last time. So before we get into the new episode, here is the reveal. So as you recall, we were listening to Team Jiffy and Team Pillsbury. Pillsbury was about Malachi and Nikolai and their lover situation. And Jiffy was about Samantha and her creepy town and just being confident and being like, hey, this isn't cool.
Yeah. And then I'd guessed they were songs, and I thought Pillsbury was Lips of an Angel and Jiffy was Don't Stop Believin'. But I was wrong.
I guessed that they were both Star Wars fan fiction, which shockingly I was also wrong about.
Honestly, though, I do want to look that up and see Anakin Skywalker and the Obi-Wan Kenobi fan fiction. That sounds like a delightful story. I bet that's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even have a particular fic in mind. I know that that exists.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
there's no way it doesn't.
Could we get a burp roll real quick? And the Pillsbury one about Malachi and Nikolai was Bees in the Trap by Miss Nicki Minaj. Bees in the Trap.
How does that relate to biscuits?
She has a line where she says, I don't know what's in that biscuit or something. Oh, let me pull it up.
Oh man, sounds like you know this song about as well as I do, Annie.
I love Bees. I honestly love this song, and so I am personally upset that I don't know it.
I literally, like, I looked up, I went through our road trip playlist, and I looked up, like, what you listen to, because this came from my coworker, Taylor. I was telling them, I was like, hey, I gotta do something about biscuits, and the only song I can find, which I'm gonna, can I get another drum roll? The Jiffy version with Samantha, who had the creepy town, that is Biscuits by Kacey Musgraves.
Fuck, I saw that one. I was Googling biscuit songs and I saw that. Yeah. And I was like,
when you mentioned, like, you were like, I'm gonna guess that these are songs. I was like, oh no, she's gonna be looking up biscuits and she's gonna get it, because I was like, this one's too obvious, which is why I didn't want to do it. But then, like, I was like, I can change it by make it like this is her speech that she's giving, and everyone. And I recommend both of these songs. They're both fun. But like the Bees in the Trap, yeah. The line that got me is she says when she has this verse or like a hook or something that goes, I don't know, man, fuck is on your biscuit. And that means, like, I don't know what's going on in your head, which is when she's like to Nikolai, who's like, the reason
what's
Nikolai felt
wallet?
What I took about, like, Nikolai falling in love with her and how I twisted his, it's 2 Chainz is also in this song. Yeah. And he has a part where he's like rapping and he says, okay, now Nikki, 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 put it in your kidney. And that means, like, he really wants to, really wants to stick it to her. And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to make this, he's fallen in love with her. And that the rest of this is him being like, I could do anything with my life, but I'm here with you. So yeah.
I can't believe I didn't get that. I love that song. It's so
good. I know. Like, I creeped on your Spotify because I was so worried. I was like, I feel like she loves Nicki Minaj, and she was right up there in like one of the musicians that you follow. And I was like, oh, this is risky.
No,
yeah, Taylor from work gave that to me. And she was like, you got to do Bees in the Trap. And I was like, ah, this is risky.
I'm a fool.
And biscuits felt risky.
You fool.
I'm not a true Nicki fan. But.
Yeah, no.
I don't listen to either of those artists very much. I mean, you know, obviously nothing against them, but just, I don't know, not really my thing. So I don't feel bad about not having any fucking clue about either of those.
I honestly,
because I was in the lead, so.
Also, like, didn't listen to either of these people, really. And I just, like, looked up biscuits, and one was, like, a suggestion from my coworker, and then the other one, I, like, looked up biscuits, and then I was like, oh, Kacey Musgraves literally has a song called Biscuits. where she's just like telling everybody, like, do your own thing, mind your own business, like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. And so I was like, this is perfect. But yeah.
Wow.
Good okay, job. Well, on to the main episode then. I apologize. Move forward.
Ah, we live and we learn.
You live and you learn, but now we know.
Hanging on the edge of tomorrow.
Bees all right, in the trap.
It's time for
bees in the trap.
It's time for a sloppy
I'm
story.
Going to be recording. So here we go.
Sloppy stories
with Lauren, Brad, and Andy.
Yeah, why don't we record that?
We'll just put it over here
and tell. Did you record?
All right, guys, welcome to Sloppy Stories, the show where we story sloppily, where we tell stories, and you have to guess what story we're telling, because it's from a different perspective.
Yes.
My name is Brad.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm Annie. I'm just happy to be right here.
Yeah, me too.
Same.
I'm excited. Fuck,
we've got a story for you, and but first, let's tell some stories about what's been going on with us, because I think we've got some stories.
Some life updates.
I got, like, a dramatic update.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Okay, it's not too dramatic, but basically, someone I know is not who I thought they were.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And it's one of you.
Was it a catfish?
I am Lauren.
You are Lauren, and you are Brad.
Yeah, I'm actually Brad.
Now that we're doing this over FaceTime and I can see you, I have discovered. No, so basically I went and my exciting news, I have two exciting things happening this week. One is kind of bougie. Devin and I did some math and we're doing like a loan on a Peloton, like where you pay it off over 43 months. And so we're so excited. I'm so excited because it costs about the same as like my gym. And, like, having to pay for the MTA if I split it out over, like, I think it's, like, 4 years. It's going to be a while. So, it's, like, it's definitely a loan kind of situation. But I've just really wanted to try that. And they do 30-day trials. So, I'm excited about that. But the other thing,
cool,
the dramatic story,
oh,
is that...
That wasn't dramatic? I mean, Peloton's pretty dramatic.
It is. Like, there was some guy,
yeah, especially
on,
that old commercial. That was incredibly dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Sex and the City.
That woman was being held hostage by her Peloton.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. And I thought, you know what? That sounds nice. Good for her.
It's time for me to be taken hostage.
I was like, let's Stockholm this shit. But no, the other one is, like, that's I'm excited about. They actually, like, they fucked up. They, like, showed up and then didn't, like, set it up. So they're coming back. But I'm still really excited for it. But the other thing is, so Cat Stevens, my dog, she's very special. And we just got DNA results for her from, I think we used Embark.
Oh.
Yeah. And
Embark.
Embark is what it's called. And it's like a DNA thing for your dog. We wanted to find out because we were both just like, this is like the perfect dog for us. So we wanted to find out, like, what was she made of?
What is she? Because she's so cute. She's like short hair, like very short hair and really long and
yeah
small.
And so I thought like a Cheweenie or maybe like she sneaky has like an Italian greyhound because she's kind of skinny. People have always
yeah
commented on that.
I mean, she's got to have weenie in her. Like, she just looks so weenie.
I know. I thought she was so weenie too. Turns out no weenie.
What? Whoa.
Not even a little bit of weenie.
Not even a tiniest bit
not
of
a
weenie.
Not even a little tiny bit of weenie? Wow.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah,
oh,
but
wow,
that's not the dramatic part.
Okay.
Like that, okay, she lied to me. She's a little bit of poodle and chihuahua and cocker spaniel and what was the
whoa
other one? There's something else in there. Oh, shih tzu. All dogs that
oh
I like the cocker spaniel, but the other two, I don't really usually like those types of dogs. But like, that's what she is, and I was so surprised. But I get it with the body shape of the poodle. But here's
the
thing
chihuahua
that's interesting.
That's funny.
Chihuahua makes sense. It's in her face a little bit.
Oh, yeah, her face. And I guess her fur, that is, like,
yeah
chihuahua, so.
But the dramatic part is we found her sister on there. And I was communicating with her owner, and we were both talking about, like, her origin. And I was like, she's really skittish. Is your dog really skittish? And yada, yada. And I was like, well, my dog was the last one picked up. She was, like, everyone else was adopted. And so she was really, you know, like, she was just too scared, and she couldn't get rid of her. And she even gave me a discount. And then she was like, that's funny you say that. My dog was the last one there that she couldn't get rid of. She was like, so the lady lied to both of us to try and get rid of this dog.
God. Oh my God.
And so I was like, what? I was like, I based Kat's origin story off of this, of like, no one would take her. And I took her for a trial adoption, and she was discounted 50% off because she was such a wreck. God. And now I'm finding out that this lady was just saying anything to anybody.
She was probably the first one. Kat was probably the first one adopted out of that litter, honestly.
I would, like, now I'm, like, I'm mad because it's also, like, her origin story, too. Like, I remember the lady seemed a little sketchy and would, like,
did you get this dog from Stan Pines from Gravity Falls?
Yeah. Man, like, a con artist?
I remember her mentioning, like, the dog, like, the litter was found by a river, but then she also said something else another time, and I was like, she's just overwhelmed. She seems stressed and overwhelmed. And so I was like, she might be mixing up stories.
None of that's true.
Yeah, none of it's true. I know nothing. I don't know. For all I know, she was like, stole these dogs from people, or like, that's a big thing to say, but
which would explain how, like, how terrified Kat was at first when you first got her, better than her being by the river.
Yeah, I was like, that was a dog by the river. She loves sand and she loves being by the water. So I was like, I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am still a little shooken up about that. And like, also finding out Kat Stevens isn't a weenie dog. And I was like, out to find a weenie dog. She's the perfect dog, though.
That's surprising. She looks so weenie. But
she's so long. Like, how is her so body long? This long? I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I actually saw, like, you posted on Instagram about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I, if I remember correctly, like, it wasn't even a little bit Chihuahua. It was, like, over 50% Chihuahua. And that's what was surprising to me. Because, yeah, head-wise, shape-wise, yeah, I could see it. But color-wise, not at all. Like, I wouldn't have expected majority Chihuahua of that dog.
Yeah, and most people usually guess that she's, like, a Jack Russell or a Beagle or, like, some weenie and a little bit of Chihuahua or something because she's kind of small. But, like, I honestly thought it was going to be, like, a weenie Jack Russell, and no weenie to be found.
Huh.
But, yeah, that's my big story, is Kat Stevens' whole life is a lie, and so we're really trying to, you know, have some coping mechanisms when dealing with this. We're going to have a therapy session next week. Me and Kat, we're going to talk about it.
She's beautiful.
No, I'm kidding.
Tell her she's still beautiful in love, no matter that her whole backstory is a lie.
Her whole life story is a lie, but I'm still happy that I got her away from that lady. If that's like what she's saying about these animals, sounds a little crazy.
Yeah.
So
you were catfished.
I was Kat Stevens fished, yes. Poor cat dog.
Poor cat.
So what, do you guys have any hot gossip or dramatic stories?
Yeah, what do you got, Lauren?
Well, I think I mentioned this last episode, and I willed it into fruition. I adopted a shrimp.
Was it Jumbo? Did you get the Jumbo?
No, I did not get a Jumbo. It's okay, very, very small. No, it's like the size of like, I don't know, maybe like your thumbnail, like a little bit longer than your thumbnail. It's very small, and I got it. It's a ghost shrimp. I was going there for, I think, I originally did research. I was going to get it a mono shrimp because those are supposed to work the best with betta fish. And I go to the store, and I'm like, you know, saying like, I'm a little worried that my fish might kill it, but we're just going to see. And the guy was like, well, you might as well, instead of getting this, like, $5 shrimp, just get a cheaper one. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know you had, like, cheaper ones. And he's like, yeah, a ghost shrimp is 70 cents. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll get a 70 cent one.
Is the ghost shrimp able to phase through the walls of the tank?
It's not, no, but it is see-through. So it's really hard to locate in the tank. And so that's been, like, fun going to look for it and being like, is it alive? Is it dead? And I don't see it for a few days, and then it's there. It's fine.
I was gonna say, you posted about it, and I wanted to be supportive and be like, oh, that's so cool, it's still alive. But I was like, oh no, it's not there. She doesn't realize it's dead because I don't see it. I was like, oh, she really thinks it's in there. So I was just like, oh, it's so good. They didn't fight.
But no, James didn't kill it. And James has seen the shrimp. He knows it's there. And I don't know if he's just like cool with it being there because the shrimp just like cleans up the tank basically, or if James is like, what the fuck is this? What is this? I'm staying away from it, because he like really never goes near it. Huh. So yeah, so I don't really know. My fish's name is James Pond, so staying on that theme, I named the shrimp Spectre.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Not...
so clever.
Spectre shrimp.
So yeah, that's all that's really been happening with me. So
I thought it was gonna be like Ghost Protocol or something.
Ghost Protocol. It's Mission Impossible.
I know, but it's a ghost shrimp or ghost pepper.
I almost landed on Money Shrimpy, but didn't go with that one.
Nice.
What about you, Brad? What you been up to?
Oh my god. Well, the saga of Brad attempts to interview for jobs continues, mostly the one job that I've been interviewing with for like 3 months now. But I've like talked to people at this company for like a grand total of an hour and a half over those 3 months because they just can't get their shit together. And like, oh my god, like I don't want to talk too much about it because I could make this entire episode just me ranting about this job that might not even exist, and it might just be like, you know, because like this is post-merger of like three different companies, and so there's a non-zero chance that they're interviewing me to be like, oh, well, we're looking for people who already work here and are working their asses off and for no money, like, but we just can't find anybody. And meanwhile, the person who acquired all three of these companies is just laughing all the way to the bank, like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oof.
And like what you told me about it sounds like they almost like just get you on a Zoom or the phone just to be like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was on a Zoom call with two people. They had a grand total of three questions for me, and one of them was like, so tell me about your background. Motherfucker, I've told you my background three times now.
Oh my god.
They just need to check notes. In. They're just wanting to be friends with you.
Yeah, but it's like dating in the modern world. We're like on dating apps, how nobody's interested. Like everybody, or like, I mean, like that's like not to say nobody's interested in me, just like nobody's interested in like even having a conversation. Like everybody's fucking busy and noncommittal to anything. And so,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You're like, hey, how's it going? How's your Tuesday going? And then you hear back 4 hours later, and you're like, hey, cool, nice. And then you never hear anything back, and you never say anything again.
Yeah,
and
like, this is good. This is a good talk.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice.
and it's more just for the dopamine hit of like, oh, somebody likes me. And then that's it. You move on.
Yeah.
Oh, this job likes me.
Yeah,
does not
exactly.
Put money in my bank. But hey, they want to know that I'm a good sport. They're like, hey, good sport. Great to hear from you, buddy.
So good.
So Bradley.
Yes.
What do you have for us today?
Just tell us what the story is.
Gun.
Oh.
This is where you die.
I'm actually holding you hostage.
Oh, that would explain the closet you're in.
Yeah, I'm in a closet. Help me.
Alrighty, yeah, I've got a story for you guys, and yeah, I can just get right down to it if you guys are ready.
I'm so ready. I could not be more ready if I tried.
Yeah, I got my notepad.
Oh yeah, I got my notepad too. Look, it's mine's way octopus. Bigger than yours.
Okay, it's not about size. I got an octopus. Okay. You didn't need to flick the middle finger at
me. For context, this is the first time we're recording while also showing each other our video. Like, usually we've just been audio only, but now there's a video aspect to this
podcast. Oh yeah, and I just flipped Annie off because of her small notepad. So that's how it's going.
It has an octopus on it, though, guys. I do have to mention that. And it's pretty, pretty blue, so.
Mm.
Nice. Alrighty, guys, so check it out. This is the story of how I defeated my greatest rival and the biggest fucking scumbag in the sport. Twice. Because, check it out. I'm a Formula One driver, and God, I wish that's what I was actually best known for. And I started racing because it's just what I like to do. I love driving, and I'm pretty damn good at it. Or, I mean, I like to think so. But, you know, when you come onto the scene all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed like me when I was young, kind of doesn't take long for people to zero in on the shittier things about your personality. Like, oh, I don't know, if you've got a bit of a short temper and after a race you like to wind down with a few drinks, maybe you know where this is going. But anyway, the incident that I'm best known for happened about a year or so into my career. And I had just won big at a major race, just barely edged out this guy named Sebastian at the last minute. Fucking great feeling, especially, you know, even more so because Sebastian is just a complete piece of shit on and off the track. You know, he's caused a couple crashes on purpose that he's walked away scot-free from, but other people died in that crash. None of that this race, though. I beat him fair and square. Great feeling. Love it. Well, after the race, I go to the bar later that night feeling like a million bucks. I already had a few drinks and feeling good. And people around me are talking about the race. I mostly try and tune it out, but there's this group of guys talking really loud about how, oh, I cheated. And, you know, like I said, I've got a pretty short temper, but I realize what's going on. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pay and leave, go to literally any bar, keep the party going. And I'm almost out the door when a glass hits me in the head. One of the guys saw me get up, and he threw his drink at me.
Whoa.
And now they're all coming towards me.
Whoa.
And I should have just bolted, but fuck it. These guys wanted to fight. I'm going to give it to them. Now, you know, I'm pretty drunk at this point, so as much as I'd like to say I was holding my own, I was getting the shit kicked out of me by these guys. And they weren't stopping. You know, who knows how far this would have gone. So to even things out, I reach over and grab a bottle from the table where they just knocked me into. And I crack the nearest guy right in the head with it. The bottle shatters, blood everywhere. Everyone goes silent. The guy falls to the ground. And after a beat, everyone scatters, including me. But the next morning, it was all over the news. That guy was dead. I killed him. That's the end of Act One.
Whoa.
Okay,
wait. Before I also remember we forgot. What was your word for this week, Brad?
My word for this week was fluke.
Oh, okay. See, this whole time I was like, was it flamboyant? It was something with an
S. Was it chart? What was it?
Was it feisty?
No, and honestly, I mean, this kind of had me on a name a woman loop, because it's like pretty much every story has a fluke in it, where it's like, you know, there's not many stories where it's like, oh, I moved into a new house and that's the story.
And nothing weird happened at all.
Yeah, it's like, so...
So it was pretty broad, yeah. Okay, so yeah. I have questions at the end of Act One here.
Sure, hit
does,
me.
Does the driver have a name?
Chris,
okay. I'm gonna write that down.
But, I mean, I'm telling this from, like, first-person perspective, okay. That's not gonna come in handy. That's just...
Yeah.
I named any name.
Got it. And then another question is, do we have, like, is this just, like, take place at a specific, like, locale, or is this just, like, throughout Chris's life?
I mean, this is within like a 2 to 3 year span of Chris's life.
Okay.
And you know, it's Formula One, so it's like happening all over the world.
Okay. Chris's life all over the world. Okay.
All around the world.
All around the world.
My first guess is Speed Racer.
My first guess is Ricky Bobby.
Oh.
Speed Bobby.
But that just feels too on the nose. Like, I feel like this is sloppy stories, and that just feels like a crisp story to be talking about a Formula One driver.
Yeah,
to be about an actual driver.
Yeah, I can disclose right off the bat. This is from, like, this is not the main character of the story.
Okay.
That's originally being told.
Okay.
Because that's what I do. That's my for these.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Just like with Pokemon, where I wasn't telling the story from the protagonist's point of view, it was Team Rocket's point of view. This is from literally any other character.
Fuck.
It's not the lead. Okay.
You know what? I think I just have to hear more of this. Because Speed Racer was my best bet. And I was being serious with that.
Alrighty, well, let's go on a recommendation break, and we'll be right back with Act 2 of this story. Figure out what happens after Chris fucking kills somebody.
I love you.
Bye.
Are you hungry and craving something bougie? But yet, when when you go to the store to get your fancy snack, you remember you're on a budget? Well, fear not, because this episode of Sloppy Stories is brought to you by Shrimp Cocktails. Looking for that budget-friendly snack that brings you an instant feeling of relaxing poolside? Well, look no further, because Shrimp Cocktails are your answer. Easy to assemble and pairing perfectly with cocktail sauce, this extravagant treat can get you through any tough day. Simply sit back, relax, and pull up a shrimp cocktail to transform any after-work evening into an elegant one.
All right, guys, welcome back to Sloppy Stories. We're telling a story that's from a skewed perspective, and we have just learned that I have killed a man, even though I'm a Formula One driver with a beer bottle. So yeah, on to part two of this story. So, nothing was the same after that night. Not that I was, like, arrested or anything. Remember what I said about Sebastian straight up killing people on camera during a race and he's still racing? Yeah, things are different for, you know, even minor celebrities, but I couldn't look at myself the same way. And neither could anybody else. The fans seemed to be into it too. Funny enough, as it is to say, people started betting on me way more after that fight. I didn't play it up though. The whole thing made me sick to my stomach, and it made my drinking problem quite a bit worse too. I always gave it my best though when I was racing. It's what I always dreamed of doing, and I always said if I gave it up now, all the shit I brought on myself would be for nothing. So I did each race stone cold sober, performed better than ever, and made a ton of money. And about a year after the fight, I finally had another race where Sebastian was in it too. And as we were all getting set up, he comes over to me and starts taunting me, starts asking me if I'm planning on hitting him in the head with a beer bottle to make sure I win. And I know he's just trying to get a rise out of me, so I tell him to fuck off. I'm working here. So as I turn back to my car, he grabs my shoulder and says, "Look, dude, I respect you as a driver. You're good at it. It's no fluke that you're here, just like it's no fluke that my boys couldn't kill you last year like I wanted. So here's how this is going to go down. I'm winning today, and you're going to come in dead last. And if I see you in front of a single other goddamn driver, you're dead on the spot. Are we clear?" And I didn't say anything. I couldn't. I wasn't shocked that Sebastian would do something like that. Everyone knows he's the biggest scumbag out there. But like, what in that moment, like, what do you even say to that? What's the response? I still don't know. I don't have any witty comeback for that. So I just finished what I was doing and got in my car. But I also decided that neither of those things was going to happen, though. I was not going to just throw the race for him. I figured I can just keep my distance, come in like third or something, make sure if he goes out of his way to cause a crash on me, that he's not going to win the race either. So the race starts, and for the most part, it's going fine. Sebastian's way ahead in the lead, and I'm trailing Odie, another lesser scumbag who usually doesn't do very well at these. Good for Odie, I guess. Well, on the third lap, start of the lap, Odie has to make a pit stop, and when I realize it's too late for me to do the same. All right, I guess I'm in second, and Sebastian only has to slow down a little bit, and he'll be right on top of me. He is a ways up there, though, and the other racers are right on my tail, so maybe he won't risk it. He won't throw the race for himself, too, just to get at me. Nope. He does exactly that. He slows down, and for a little bit, we're just juking each other. And just when I think I'm in the clear again, I see him hard turn right into me, and I should have held my ground. I should have just stayed where I was at, kept going, because if he actually hit me, it might have killed us both. But reflexively, I just swerve out of the way a little too hard, and I start spinning out, and then the car flips. And that's the last thing I remember. That's the end of Act Two.
Okay, like, before we get into anything, I just want to say you broke up there for a minute whenever you were like, the guy said, "Look there, buddy," something about coming in last, but like you broke, I think it was come in last, but it, you broke up and it sounded like, "I'm going to come into ass." I was like, I was like, wait. I was like,
listen, buddy.
This is racing. I think he said you need to come in last, or I. It was very confusing for me for a moment.
If I see you in front of a single other goddamn driver, I'm gonna fucking come.
Yeah. Confused. I'm really lost for this because part of me thinks maybe this is a true crime story because I've heard of like I think there's like football players and stuff who have like murdered somebody and then like they still keep playing or something. Maybe I'm getting it wrong, but I have to. But then that would still make them seem like the main character. I don't know. I'm like, I'm definitely lost for this one. I don't know about you, Lauren.
No, I have no solid guess. I have guesses, but they're just like, none of them are, I don't feel great about any of them.
Yeah, I also feel insecure. Yeah. In my guesses.
Yep. And like, even like genre-wise, I'm all over the place.
I'm looking up, I don't know, like I kind of...
Yeah.
Not to like... collaborate with you on this one, but I've been looking up like movies about celebrities because I'm like maybe it's like a couple like I don't know like I just need I'm also like looking up like movies that have like a bar fight scene in it because I'm like that's so distinct and in my head I can picture a couple movies where like they fight in a bar at the beginning. There's a ton of movies where it's like but it's a lot. There's like TV shows and movies where they like fight with like a beer bottle and I'm like oh
yeah. And there's like one movie I'm thinking of where like they have a definite scene like that but it just is so close to the story that's being told where I'm like I don't think this would be it.
Wow, maybe he's Pokemoning us.
Are you Pokemon what is that saying where you just should go with the easiest answer because it's Occam's usually razor that? Yeah, it's like Occam's razoring us. Yeah.
I don't think I've heard of that before.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you just meant the kiss method of keep it simple, stupid, but also kiss.
That yeah. too, kiss.
Occam's razor is like when the simplest solution is almost always the right solution because you just have to cut through that. I'm butchering it right now, speaking of cutting.
Chekhov's razor.
Yeah. Chekhov's razor. I don't know. It's just like it's supposed to be the simplest like solution. Schrodinger's razor. Right.
Schrodinger's razor.
Is the solution there? Is it not? We don't know.
The solution is both there and not until you guess.
Until you guess.
Yeah. Here. Okay. But here's just to throw another small bone y'all's way.
Ooh, okay.
This is. Okay. I predict that in the third act, y'all are either going to like get it at a very specific moment in the third act, or you're not going to get it at all. And when I reveal it, you guys are going to be fucking pissed because why have you done this?
Okay.
Is it Super Mario Bros?
Everything is Super Mario Bros.
I'm going to be fucking mad if one of these days, one of y'all do Super Mario Bros.
Jesus. I mean, if I could go back in time and make... I want to do that now. I want to make it happen. And this was the perfect open-ended thing that I could have reached for that, but I someday. Didn't think of that.
Just put it in your back pocket.
Yeah, that's I'm adding it to the back pocket now. All right, guys, we're taking a break. Let's have some recommendations. We'll be right back with the final part of this story. Is Chris fucking dead, or is he going to race on some more?
Bye.
Do you ever feel like you're all out of luck? I know I do. Instead of focusing on your own situation, or bettering your life in some way, shape, or form, I recommend picking up this silly habit. Flipping over pennies that you see on the street. Anytime I see a penny and it's tail side up, I just like flipping it over for the next person. Honestly, I don't even think I pick up pennies anymore because I don't know, I like the idea that I saw it and some stranger might grab it one day. But I definitely like flipping them over if I see that they're tail side up because they're going to make someone's day and help them get a little more luck. So yeah, instead of working on the things that you can control within your life to make your luck better, flip pennies. It's fun. And it'll make you daydream about some stranger's future for a moment.
All right, guys, welcome back to Sloppy Stories.
Hey!
In the last part of this sloppy story, our protagonist had a car crash, and is he alive? Is he dead? I guess we're about to see.
Do you guys have any guesses?
Wait,
as to whether he's
just,
alive or dead?
Something just came to my mind, and I'm... Okay. I think he's alive, but the guess I just had makes me a little angry. Not angry, but it's making me smile.
Okay. I'm
opposite of angry, I guess.
I'm super looking forward to knowing what it is.
Annie, I don't have my glasses on, so you're texting me, but I cannot see it.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't listening when you threw us a bone because I got a text and I was rude. And so could you throw me that bone one more time?
The bone was just that there's like something that happens in Act 3 that will either instantly give it to us or we won't get it. And then when it's revealed, we'll be like, don't.
Oh, okay. Sorry. In my head, I thought he like described it and I thought you went into it, and then I was like, shit, did I zone out for the whole thing that he was talking about? Okay.
Just something, like, came to me. Like, some divine intervention just happened. But it
I'm going to throw you a bone.
Yeah,
this
I was
Bone
like...
Bone Town 2013.
Bone Town.
Bone Saw.
Okay, go ahead.
Alrighty. So, I was true to my word. I never deliberately threw the race. And Sebastian didn't fucking kill me. It was a long recovery, though. Didn't help that there was no booze in the hospital to help pass the time. But many long months later, I was back, baby. And just in time for the big annual desert race. I unironically love this one. The actual track is fucking insane. All these super tight turns and this one spot where it splits into three separate paths before all coming back together. And like the final straightaway is just this massive like salt flat. And it's crazy, especially in the first lap where, like, everyone's still really close together. A lot of racers dread it, but I, for one, welcome the absolute chaos. And even better, Sebastian's going to be there. And I know what you're thinking. Isn't this, like, the perfect spot for him to try and kill me again? And maybe succeed this time because the racetrack is so fucking crazy. Well, that's what I'm worried about it too at first. But as we're all rolling in, getting, you know, setting up shop the day before... I noticed that he's completely focused on this one other driver. Kind of young guy, hadn't really seen him around before. Apparently some stupid rich foreign royalty or whatever is sponsoring him hard just for this one race, and all eyes were on him. Cool. All right, I guess. As long as I watch my spacing with Sebastian, and I don't give him any obvious openings to light my ass up, I should be good to go, right? Enjoy this track that I like. Maybe cause an upset by winning the whole fucking thing. Plus, you know, the food here is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. And now it's the morning of the race. I'm still pumped. And in particular, I really want to straight up embarrass Sebastian today. I know it could cost me my life later, but fuck it. I'm a driver, man. All these races could be any of these races could be my last for any reason. And if I can take this one golden shot to humiliate the biggest douchebag in the sport... You know what? It's 100% worth it. Let's fucking go. And the race gets off to a good start. It's really, really close for the first half. I like that. And the salt flat portion during the first lap did not disappoint. There was like six of us vying for the lead, and we all just like literally driving shoulder to shoulder across it, mostly like for the memes, before we all had to like collapse in and kind of chicken each other for the last second before crossing the start line where it's like narrow again. It was fucking cool. But on the second lap, that young dude I was talking about, like he didn't start that great, but he's tearing up the field by now. And right near like that three-way split I was talking about, this guy Marty, who I was like neck and neck with at the time, he lost control of his car, crashed into the wall. Felt awful for the guy, and like I kind of had a moment of like, oh shit, it's fucking this again. But I centered myself. Everything's good. I'm still here. So I just kind of slowed down a little to avoid the wreckage. But at the end of the second lap, it was Sebastian in first, that fucking nobody foreign sponsorship boy in second, and me in a distant third. Now, at a race like this, with this many people, third place is still a huge payout. But I'm not having that shit. I get my ass in gear and say, come get me, Satan. I'm going to humiliate both of these clowns or die trying. And Satan said, no, you go get it, buddy. It's all you. I was drifting through those hairpin turns like a madman. And on the final salt flat straightaway, I see
somebody's car flip. I can't tell who it is, but suddenly I'm in second at least. And I figure if those two were still neck and neck when that happened, whoever didn't flip is, you know, probably kind of going slow to avoid that mess, just like I did when Marty crashed earlier. So I fucking step on it. This is my chance. Where's the other guy? I pass the crash car. I can't tell who it is. I can't tell if it's one car, two cars. If they crash together, I win this right now. So I just go. And I cross the finish line. The crowd's going batshit crazy. And I'm feeling like a million bucks. And it takes me a while to slow down because I'm just going so fast. But when I do, and when I swing around, I realized, my luck isn't that good. That young fellow, Sebastian's actual rival for the day, smoked his ass at the last second and finished first. Mm-hmm. Practically as I was entering the salt flats myself. This guy's pretty good. Not quite the fluke I was hoping for today, but you know what? I'll take it. Sebastian lived, miraculously barely a scratch on him, but he was humiliated, and that's all that matters to me. Great fucking race, and clearly the best racer won. I got a lot of money out of it, and I was back, and I felt great. I felt like I could put the whole mess behind me, even though to this day everybody's like, hey, you have any bar fights lately? Like, shut the fuck up. Yeah, crazy story, right?
That was good. Wow. So my divine intervention guess, it's not it, I'm abandoning that, but that the thing that came to me when you first started talking at the beginning of Act 3 was I thought it was cars. And I was like, the audacity of telling cars as a car race story, but just with a human driver.
Or just any other car.
And give him like a drinking issue. And I was my God.
Two acts of fan fiction. Cars fan fiction.
No, but that's not my guess. I do have a guess, though. Something else has come to me that I feel like I'm going to lock in on. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Are you gonna hold on that one, wait for Andy?
I'm gonna hold on it. Yeah, I'm gonna clinch it for a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. You're gonna clinch it. Okay, great. So I like in the last minute, I went through some thoughts of like, is this Cool Runnings, like the Disney movie?
Oh shit!
Because I was That's like, isn't there a guy that was like disgraced and he might have gotten into a bar fight and then I don't know, but he was too main character-y. And then I thought of like The Longest Yard and how like. In that movie, I think, like, the warden approaches someone and is like, you can't win this. If you do this, it's going to be like, yada, yada, yada. And then he's like, I don't care. I'll go to jail. And then I'm like, but it doesn't line up because he doesn't end up winning. Maybe Waterboy? I don't know. And then maybe Jack and Jill. Maybe any other Adam Sandler movie.
It's like the rogue one.
But then something just came to me, and I think it might be it. Is it Star Wars Episode 1?
My guess is also Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Yeah, the one where the speed racing one. So I think that's Episode 1.
I don't know. I just
Googled. That is Phantom Menace. That is Episode 1.
Okay, that's what I'm guessing.
Okay, that's what we're guessing.
Alrighty, final answers?
Final answers, locked and loaded.
You fucking did it.
Yay!
You fucking got it. We are the sloppiest.
We sloppy.
That was the pod race told from famous pod racer Guscano. Sebastian was Sebulba.
And you know, I absolutely would not have gotten it, but what gave it away was when you said their opponent was young.
Yeah.
I should have just said some dude.
Yeah, if you just said some dude, I probably wouldn't have gotten it, because that was the only thing that tipped me off, that it was a young opponent, and I was like, oh, that's like the
Yeah,
the
I
guy.
Deliberately didn't say kid or child, because that would have been a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Like, just saying, like, he's on the younger side. I thought that was
That wasn't what did it for me. What did it for me was you said the salt flats, and then I was like, oh, I know where that setting is. If you would have said something like the snowy mountain ridge, then I would have been like, oh, I'm thrown. But when you said salt flats, I started thinking more about Star Wars, and I was like, wait, this could be Star Wars. And I remember them being in bars and fighting and doing stupid shit. So I was like,
Yeah, salt flats did not get, because salt flats, I was just thinking Mario Kart, then I was thinking Fury Road, and yeah, no. I was close to not getting it. No, it was good. It was good. You had me there for most of it.
That took until like the last.
Because here's the twist: the first two acts basically were fan fiction, though, because basically like Ascano's characterization is that he's drunk and has a short temper, and so I was like, okay, I'll just flesh that out a little bit for two acts, and then just have Act Three be the actual fucking thing from the movie.
Smart.
Yeah, that was good. You did have me going right up until the end.
Alrighty, so I've got a skewed question for you guys. Are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, give it to me.
So when you tell a story, not on the podcast, but just when you're telling a story in your life, how often do you like exaggerate and embellish it, and like how much?
Ooh. Well, obviously the main character is like spot on, because I'm always like, she's really hot. Her name's Annie. It's the kind of girl you want to be. So like, I wouldn't lie about that, obviously. I've been thinking about that lately, like the idea of memory and like how we don't really, what we remember is not always true. Cause it's always, you don't actually have memories. It's you remembering the last time you remembered it. And so they get fuzzy. And so I've been thinking about that lately, is I'm like, I wonder if how many stories are just the emotion I felt when something happened and not like as much based in reality. Because I think about that when someone else tells me a story and I was like, I was there. That didn't feel like it was that way. But then I realized like, oh, coming from them, maybe that's what happened. So like I try not to embellish. I get pretty anxious about like right and wrong, and like I get anxious about like not, I really like to try and be grounded, but like I do know how to tell like a goofy story and like Oh, sorry.
Is that your ghost?
No, my boyfriend got us some Tillamook. He walked all the way to the store. Oh, that's so sweet. I've been wanting cheese. Tillamook all week. No, not cheese, the ice cream. It's so good. The cheese too.
That's too bad.
Cheese ice cream.
Anyways, I'll restart that thought. Anyways, he got Takis too?
Ah! Shit, cheese and Takis.
Okay, wait, can I finish the podcast? We're almost done. And then we can hang, sorry. cheese and Takis, I don't, do what you want with this part. I apologize that it's a bit of a mess. But, so my thought is like, whenever I tell stories, I feel like I do like reveal more of like what happened and how I felt. So I'll be like, for instance, it's like, you know, I'll be like, oh my God. And then this crazy lady just like threw her shit. And I was like, I felt like I was backed against a wall. Or like, I will explain like maybe like that. But like, for the most part, I feel like when I tell a story, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I personally absolutely over embellish. Like, I don't think I'm going to lie about details that matter, but I love to tell like dramatic stories to be dramatic about it.
Yeah.
And so if I'm like telling someone like, oh, yo, I like went to see this movie and it was so like, oh my life is different because of it, you know? Or like, I saw this tree and it was like 5,000 feet tall.
Wait,
like,
Lauren, you're making me realize. I literally start the podcast by being like, my life has changed. Someone is not who they told me they were.
It was your dog.
So I guess I do.
Full circle.
Breed of dog.
I guess I do embellish. My bad. Maybe
I do. Yeah, it's like, because you got to sell your story.
Not a hurtful
way,
you know?
Like, everybody's got limited time and like, you know, hopefully you're, you know, spending your limited time talking to someone who's got your back no matter what, and is going to listen to your dumbass story regardless. But like, you know, you want to reward people for sticking around for your story. You're going to make it a good story. You're going to make it the best story you can make it.
Make it fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like, especially when it's like, okay, they know I'm exaggerating, and they'll know it was like some middle ground of this when I'm like, I fucking saved the day by bringing in Tillamook and tacos.
Yeah.
I am really excited for the Takis. Yeah.
But the world cheered and Oprah gave everybody a car.
Yeah.
I do. I honestly, like, it also makes me like flash to the moment. Like, Lauren and I saw like some I had like a series where I was just like really anxious for a long time a period of time, and Lauren was like, you know what, Annie, we should go to every horror movie that's coming out. And I was like, well, I really would like to have a friend. So I was like, I guess we're going to every horror movie ever.
And no one goes with me.
Yeah.
I have to bully people into going with
and
me.
And I remember you, like, you telling people afterwards, is like, yeah, my butt was clenched. And like, yeah. And I don't think it truly was, but like,
oh no, my butthole do get clenched sometimes. There are some movies where I'm like, the whole movie, I like leave the theater and my body is exhausted.
Hey, maybe that is true. Maybe you are clinching. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, I guess it's your time next time, your turn next time, and Brad and I are going to be the guessers.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no.
Oh gosh, what?
I thought I was never going to have to tell another story again.
I'm going to have to talk more? What?
I'm so excited to hear what you got. Because you came in strong. You came in with Mean Girls.
I did.
You were like, that was the audacity.
I was like, I just don't do a horror movie. And I was just like, you know that meme of like Jordan Peele sweating? That was like me trying to come up with something that wasn't a horror movie.
Well, our prompt for you is eggs.
Eggs.
Egg.
Or egg, sorry.
Just singular?
One egg, many eggs, however you want to play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
the concept of an egg. The concept of egg.
Don't be greedy, though, and, like, do a story about too many eggs. Just one egg. Or maybe, like, a couple eggs, but don't be, like,
you
three
get
dozen.
Ready. I'm going to tell... I've written a note now to tell a story about too many eggs.
Tell the story of Weevil and Bob.
Tell story about too many eggs. Okay.
And I got to give credit to Brad for that one. He came up with egg.
It's good.
He like just texted me. He's like, what should we tell Lauren? And then he was like, oh, egg. I was like, that's brilliant. I like didn't even get to respond. And I was like, oh, yeah, that works.
That's good. Okay.
Well, to be fair, I texted you like around noon and I was like, oh, shit, we didn't pick a prompt. Do you have anything? And then you didn't say anything for an hour. And then I just was like, egg.
I guess it was a while. I think I was out with my friend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not trying to drag you or anything, but no.
You're
your
like,
fault.
I had this in my like, back pocket, it. An egg.
Oh no, I love a pocket egg though.
Yeah,
unless
egg.
When I forget about them, like I sincerely do carry eggs around, and then I forget about them sometimes, and then I'm like, damn, I can't eat this egg.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
If in case you run across like your mayor or your governor, you gotta throw an egg at him.
Well, yeah, well, Annie, we're making ramen. Remember, we had to like put eggs all over our bodies to like warm them up.
Oh yeah, the titty egg.
Yeah, titty eggs. Yeah.
Yeah, I have like a little bit of stand up I do about that now. Yeah. I watch another like MasterChef, and then I go into how you have to make a ramen egg. But the first step is like you forget that you have to let it at room temperature. So then you gotta pull up your boob and stick an egg under
and just put it under your titty. Yeah,
no
yeah,
hugs.
You need some titty egg. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for
yes,
tuning
in. We hope
in.
You enjoyed our sloppy story today. We hope you'll join us next time for egg.
Egg.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. You've been with Sloppy Stories. We'd be super grateful if you subscribed to us. Check out our socials. We're at Sloppy Stories Podcast. Share us around with your loved ones if you liked it. That'd be awesome. Cover art by Andrea Lopez Leal. You can find her work on Instagram at Andrea Lopez Photography. Editing and music supervision by Lauren Keithley. Created and produced by Annie Tadvik. Written and hosted by Brad Stevens, Lauren Keithley, and Annie Tadvik. Original intro and outro music by all three of us. Credits by yours truly. This episode's skewed rehashing was based on Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, 1999, everybody's absolute favorite Star Wars movie. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it. It is an experience. It's my favorite prequel. I'm not even joking. That's more a statement of I'm not really that big of a fan of Revenge of the Sith anyway. And if you have seen it, go ahead and leave us a comment with whoever your favorite podracer is besides Anakin. There's a lot to choose from. They're all super important to the story. Let us know. See you next time.